Grace, mercy, and peace are now yours from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, last week Pastor James kicked off our new sermon series on Easter Sunday called Liar, Liar. A series in which we'll look at the greatest lies the devil has told and many of which we and our culture have believed. Last week Pastor James looked at the lie, you only live once. And how, if you live by this thinking, you only live once, you usually live just for yourself and your possessions. And you fail then to live as God has created you to live in His kingdom to serve other people. Because Jesus, God's Son, did not just live once, but has risen and is now reigning as true King of all kings and all things, we who believe in Him and know for certain that He is risen, we know that we don't just live once. We actually are created to live forever. All because of Jesus. And when we live as creatures, created to live forever because of Jesus, then we're able to live as God has created us to live. Free from the power of sin, free from the power and fear of death, free from the devil himself. Even in this world, not just when we get to heaven. Today we want to focus onto a second lie. And that lie is, seeing is believing. We often live by this philosophy, seeing is believing. This cliche, seeing is believing, actually comes from our gospel lesson, where Thomas, one of Jesus' disciples, refuses to believe in Jesus' resurrection unless he can see with his eyes and touch with his hands the risen Jesus. Unless I see his hands, the mark of nails, and place my finger into the mark of nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe. Thomas emphatically responds to his fellow disciples and even friends. And to me, what's amazing about Thomas's doubt, first and foremost, that Jesus had done miracles that he saw, that he touched, that he tasted in his life. Jesus walked on the water. Thomas saw that with his eyes. He had turned water into wine. He tasted that wine. Thomas had seen Jesus feed 5,000 and 4,000, two different crowds with hardly any food, and Thomas ate and was satisfied. And Thomas saw Jesus raise three people at least from the dead, including Lazarus, who was in a tomb for 4 days. Thomas had seen with his eyes. So why couldn't he believe that Jesus was now risen? Second, it's amazing to me that Thomas denied all the witnesses. There wasn't just one witness. Like in the Mormon faith, or in the whole faith of Islam, is founded on some divine revelation just to one particular person. And everybody is supposed to believe that one revelation, that one witness. But not in the case of Jesus. He appears to a handful of women and 10 disciples at least, more than that, at multiple times in multiple locations. And they all have the same story. We've seen Jesus. He's risen. And they're so excited to tell Thomas that they've actually ate with Jesus. They touched him. And yet Thomas denies them all. His doubt in the amazing fact that Jesus had risen was so strong that he would deny and reject all his friends. The people who he had left his family for and lived with for the last 3 years. He rejects them all, even Mary, the mother of Jesus, is witness. Since Thomas uttered these words, well, it's safe to say there have been many Thomases in the world. Many have uttered the words, seeing is believing. Unless I see it with my eyes, unless I can touch it, I will not believe it. Today we live at a time where the spirit of Thomas is much greater than ever before. And the lie of seeing is believing has begun to strangle our culture. And even put a stranglehold on Christ's church. I do not believe there is a God because I cannot see God, people think and say. If God were really there, why doesn't He show Himself to me? I do not believe that God created me and all the world because there's no proof. Nobody was there to witness him creating. There's no pictures of him creating. There's no video of it. There's no record of it when it happened. I don't believe there was a Jesus who was a God who died on the cross to forgive sins and rise from the dead because I can't see him. Yes, the spirit of Thomas is strong. And the lie of the devil, Satan, is strong among us today. Even people who call themselves Christians, who've been baptized into Christ, say things like this. Oh, I'm a good person and I try to live my life according to what Jesus taught. Well, at least the things he taught that I can understand and I sort of like. The things that allow me to sort of live my life the way I want to. You know, like, don't judge other people. So don't judge me. You don't have to believe the whole Bible. Come on, there's no proof that God actually created everything in 6 days. You don't actually believe that, do you? And that some serpent talked to some people named Adam and Eve? And if you believe that, then what do you do with the fact that scientists have proven the earth is billions of years old, and if Jesus rose from the dead and came to bring life, then why doesn't he stop all the suffering in the world? Why does he let bad things happen? Unless I see proof, I will not believe. Seeing is believing. Liar, liar. Seeing is not believing. And we do not live according to this truth, this lie, in other aspects of life. I believe that Adolf Hitler really did live. And he really did lead a Holocaust back in the 1930s and 1940s. Although some people deny that it actually happened. But the Holocaust deniers are crazy, right? Because we have so many witnesses, so many reliable witnesses, thousands of reliable witnesses that it actually happened. They testify to the truth. And you want to go a lot farther back in history. I really believe, there was a philosopher named Plato. And he had a great philosophy student named Aristotle. And those two guys changed the world with their writings and their philosophies. We still teach them in college universities today. And they lived 400 years before Jesus ever walked the earth. And the oldest manuscript that we have of Plato is 800 AD, not BC. 1,200 years after Plato lived is our earliest copy of a manuscript of what he said. And yet, we all believe that he said these things and they really lived. I believe it. And I believe it because there's so many witnesses in the world that there was a Plato and an Aristotle. We'd be foolish not to believe that they actually lived or that they wrote The Republic, a great writing of Plato, I believe. But I also believe that there really was a Jesus of Nazareth who walked on this earth because there are so many more witnesses to his actual life, to his actual death by the hands of Joseph Caiaphas, the high priest of the Jews, and Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor at the time who ruled in Judea for Tiberius, the Caesar of the Roman Empire. There's tons of witnesses. We have over 5,000 manuscripts of the New Testament alone. And our oldest piece of the New Testament, the Gospel of John, dates within a year or two of John's life. Not 800, 1,200 years like the Plato and Aristotle documents. There are first century Roman non-Christian witnesses to Jesus. Tacitus, who hated the Christians, testifies to the facts that we just talked about, and that the Christians worship Jesus as if he were God. There's Josephus, a Jewish historian, who was not a follower of Jesus, who sits down and writes a history of the Jewish people 40 years after Jesus died and rose. And he mentions that Jesus was crucified by Pontius Pilate, and that his body went missing 3 days later. And he even mentions two rumors. One, the disciple stole his body from the sealed tomb and Roman soldiers guarding it. And a second rumor, that he actually had risen and appeared to a number of disciples. So, is this witness, this non-Christian witness of all people, This historian, is he making it up? You tell me. If he's not making up, what's more logical? That the same disciples who abandoned Jesus and are portrayed as cowards in the true, reliable witnesses of the gospel, that all of a sudden now they are all powerful and confident and pull off the greatest heist in the history of the world. They go by night, unseal a sealed tomb, and whoop up some Roman soldiers and steal the body of Jesus. If Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are all liars, why are they portraying the disciples as cowards, weaklings? And Thomas himself, who's denying the resurrection. And we have such a multitude of witnesses outside of the Bible, first century, of these disciples and apostles giving their life to proclaim the truth that Jesus had risen from the dead. Tons of documents, witnesses, not the Bible, but people who wrote later, a couple generations later, talking about Peter and Paul and James and John, how they gave their life for Jesus because he had risen from the dead. They didn't give their life to a philosophy of life. They didn't give their life because they liked the sayings of Jesus. They gave up their lives because they believed that he had risen from the dead, that he was alive and reigning and ruling. More than any of this, we have the bones of Joseph Caiaphas. We've discovered them. But if the body of Jesus was stolen, knowing the controversy and threat that it would cause to the Jewish leaders, how much time they put into falsely accusing him and getting him crucified, don't you think they, with the help of the Roman government, would have tracked down Peter, James, and John and the body of Jesus? Don't you think they would have brought that to an end really quick? To believe that they pulled off the biggest heist, that's illogical. And there is proof outside the Bible this happened. That the body of Jesus is gone and missing. Don't you think the archaeologist, the greatest archaeologist, would find the body of Jesus? No, I have not seen with my eyes the living flesh and bones of a walking and talking in Jesus. But I don't need to. Because I believe that the greater things, the greatest truths of life, you believe by faith. Eyes of faith. Faith believes that there's something greater than my brain. The ability of my intellect. And that's not illogical to believe that there is a being greater than me. Man is not the measure of all things, as Greek philosophy taught. But God is the maker of all things. Yes, there's plenty of witnesses to that truth as well. There is no proof. Proof that the earth is billions of years old. That's a theory. There's no proof. It's a lie to say that we can prove that. Just as there was no one to record the God creating the history of the world, creating the world, there's no proof. There's no one who witnessed the evolution, the Big Bang, or whatever theory. And so what if they find a rock and date it to be a billion years old by some human device of measuring? Can the creation, can we who have been created by an infinite creator, can we measure the work of the creator? How old was Adam when God created him? One day, 1 hour. But was he a baby? No, he's fully developed. Along with the fully developed dinosaurs and fishes and birds and trees and rocks and dirt. So if you want to pick up something that God creates and measure it, and he's infinite, then yeah, it's going to measure billions and millions of years. And if you take something and measure it twice by two great scientists, they come up millions of years difference, but that's logical. And if we evolve from monkeys, where's the partial human-monkey beings? Oh, they died over time. Natural selection, we call it. Well, where are the witnesses to this? Natural selection. Changing from species to species. There's none. Zero witnesses. And yet we teach and believe it as a truth. It's a lie. Seeing is not believing. Not when it comes to the most important things. And yet we believe these most important things Because there are witnesses. Really good, reliable, countless witnesses. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it because, as David wrote, Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Go outside and look at the sun and the moon and the stars and how it all holds into place. And the sun comes up and the sun goes down and winter comes and fall comes. And yeah, it's sometimes a little different, a little early, a little late. But it continues to work in an amazing way. You look at the world and the universe and the animal kingdom, and it's beyond our imagination, our capability to understand. And I believe that God knit me together in my mother's womb. Because as David again says in Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made and created. My DNA has a design, and so does yours. A design, an order to creation. It's magnificent how many arteries and capillaries and blood-carrying vessels can fit into my body. This cannot have just happened over time. That is illogical. That is a lie. And that's why Jesus came into the world, to live a perfect life as God in the flesh, to be knit by the Holy Spirit into His mother's, Mary's, womb. Why He went the way of the cross, was crucified through Joseph Caiaphas and Pontius Pilate for you and for me and for all the Thomases of the world and all the doubters and doubts. And that's why He rose from the dead and appeared to hundreds of people. Not one, hundreds of people. To make all things new, to bring life and bring it to the full. No, I didn't put my hands in nail-pierced hands, nor into His side. But I believe Jesus is risen and He's reigning. And I believe because there are many, many countless reliable witnesses to this. I believe with eyes of faith. Blessed are you, Thomas, because you see and believe, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet they believe. Seeing is believing, that's a lie. But when you believe, you see. That's true. I believe, and now I see. I see things different. And so do the Christians in India who believe that Jesus is risen because of some doubter named Thomas, who got on a boat and sailed to the land 2,000 years ago. And they believe because of his testimony and witness. And if you don't believe me, then go there yourself and see it in Madras at this St. Thomas Hill, where they all live and gather in that town because they've been kicked out of their house and they've lost their job for believing in Jesus. They believe. Do they ever? And they are different than the Hindus and the other people of the country who are so poor. You walk through their slums and they get joy because they believe, and because they believe, they see things differently. They see things with joy. They believe that Jesus is alive because Thomas came. And Thomas told them, Thomas gave his life for Jesus and for them. Seeing is not believing. That's a lie. But for the ones who believe that Jesus is alive, believing is seeing. So go, believe he's alive, and go see. See things differently. In Jesus' name, amen.